Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR. And the Browns do play a game Sunday, as maybe amazing as that might be to people who have spent the last, 24 hours, but a lot of time, as we have too, just chewing on this trade the Browns made with the Colts to send Trent Richardson there for a first-round draft pick. But there is going to be a game, and someone who's going to help us talk a little bit about this Vikings team is Mark Craig, who covers that, does a great job of that for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, no problem.
So, Mark, you know what? We got to start here with you, too. You've covered this league. You know your stuff, and you cover a team that has the best running back in the game, so you're aware of running back value. What was your reaction when you heard about this trade between the Browns and the Colts?
Yeah, I don't think you can compare Adrian to Trent Richardson, but who knows? I mean, Trent, I used to cover the Browns and from Cleveland, and you just look at it, and it just seems like they can never get their feet on the ground. If they're just constantly going one way, then the next way, and then, yeah, if I'm a Browns fan, it's just like, well, you know, what are we doing? But you look at it, and just the whole thing, going to your number three quarterback to announcing it to trading your running back, I'm sure they're going to keep trying, but it just looks like they're tanking the season.
They just don't want us to be bored on this radio show here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty
Great
Ford.
For so, you guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The Browns are giving us plenty to talk about. When you look at this matchup, it is a couple of teams that, you know, one, they both kind of wanted to run the football, but the Vikings do it very well. But both have had their struggles at quarterback. Brandon Whedon in the first two games, Christian Ponder with four interceptions as well. Talk about Christian Ponder and how he can get better, or if he can get better, against a defense in Cleveland that's actually played pretty good, a top six defense in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, my take on Christian and his 26-28 starts is, you know, he's one of those scary quarterbacks because he's not really good enough to put your full trust in, but he's not bad enough to give up and start over on. So it's, you know, at Chicago, he throws a horrible interception, just this weak throw to the outside that's returned for a touchdown. At that point, he's playing horribly. And then he comes back and he plays well at the end of the first half. He plays well in the second half. So he's just one of these guys you can't get a read on because he's so up and down, so inconsistent. And I do question whether, you know, he could ever be that guy, because his biggest weakness is accuracy, and I just don't know, when you get to this level, you know, they talk about footwork, maybe, you know, he can improve his footwork, but, you know, to me, your accuracy is what it is when you get to this level, I would think, and sometimes, you know, balls just sail on him, you know, guys are open, and then even some of the completions he makes, he's not hitting them in the right spot, you know, guys are having to dive for balls, and so, this is a make-or-break year for him, because the way that Adrian Peterson plays, you should be getting a lot more, or executing a lot more opportunities than what he does.
And speaking of Adrian Peterson, Mark, give me a sense from you as to what he sounded like a frustrated guy, had 100 yards in his last outing against Chicago, and he was complaining that mostly about himself, that he wasn't hitting the hole as explosively as he feels. He just doesn't seem like he feels right with how things are going for him through these first two games. And that was his more productive game, the second game, 100 yards against the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, his standard is so much higher than everyone else's. You look at what he did last year, I mean, it was an amazing feat, because so many times there were, you know, 8, 9 people just crowded around the line of scrimmage, and it wasn't like it was the most dominant run blocking that he got either. He would just hit a hole, and he would, whether it was power, speed, a quick move in the hole. He had a lot of, you know, I think he tied the record for most 50-yard runs. You know, he'd have 80-yard touchdown runs, you know, when it looked like there was no way to get through a hole. So now, you know, he hits that first one of the season, 78 yards, his first carry of the year, 78 yards touchdown. The next 17 carries at Detroit, he only gets 15 yards. So, and the offensive line got manhandled at Detroit. So, and he goes to Chicago at the wet field, and he's, you know, stutter stepping. He's still, you know, he still hits holes, but he's still kind of guessing and trying to make every run like a 60 to 80 yard run. And I think he's realizing, and the coaches are talking to him a little bit, saying, you know, hey, just get your 6, 8 yards, and, you know, those big ones will come. So I don't think that that's the one guy they don't have to worry about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Percy Harvin gone. Greg Jennings in. Cordarrelle Patterson in. Patterson hasn't played much, and I know Leslie Frazier has called that an oversight. Greg Jennings, you know, didn't get to 1,000 yards either the last two seasons with Green Bay. How do you feel about his adjustment coming in, and do you think Patterson is going to start to be featured more as this season goes on?
Yeah, I think, Patterson's only played 11 plays, and he's such a playmaker. It is an oversight, and it's mind-blowing that he can return the opening kickoff 105 yards, and then he only plays six snaps on offense. Jennings made some, nice catches, and there were some decent throws in the second half, but, the only guys he's ever played with are Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. So, remains to be seen whether he can be, a number one elite receiver with Christian Ponder. But I think he's done well so far. Jerome Simpson's been kind of a surprise. He came from the Bengals last year and he hurt himself. He first started off with a suspension and then he got hurt his back and his legs and he never materialized. He had a terrible season last year and in first two games this year he's played well.
Mark Craig from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He's joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in anticipation of Sunday's game between the Browns and the Vikings. Mark, 0-2, and Leslie Frazier there as head coach. I mean, I know there's a lot of confidence and faith in the job that he's doing and has done there, but he's, like Rob Chudzinski, faced with trying to get a team from a spot that is generally considered the death knell when it comes to any hope of playing in the postseason. And this was a playoff team, Minnesota, last year. What's the mindset around that team?
Well, it was surprising last year whenever they didn't extend his contract. We all assumed that because they had a 7-win improvement and they made the playoffs, they did everything basically a year ahead of when everyone was expecting it. Thought there would be an extension, and all the teams, all the ownership did was just pick up the one-year option they had. So that was kind of a red flag. It was done in part because I think the owners were burned a little bit because they did the same thing, or they did when Childress had his big year. They extended him, gave him a big extension, and then basically on the one-year anniversary, they fired him after a 31-3 loss to the Packers at home. So I think they were a little leery of that, just wanted to take another wait-and-see year. But, that's not good for Leslie because, look at the schedule that they have. They could be a better team and have a worse record because, you start with two games on the road in the division, and then you give up one of your home games where they're, have a really good home record to go to London to play the Steelers. It's just a tough schedule for him. So, I won't say he's not on the hot seat yet, but if the season falls apart, they're all replaceable parts.
When you look at this Vikings defense, the one thing that they seem to really have had problems with thus far in the season is running backs, giving up 239 yards on the ground. They've given up another 241 yards receiving to running backs with Reggie Bush, Joik Bell, Matt Forte, all exploiting them as pass catchers out of the backfield. Could have been a good game for Trent Richardson, but he's gone. So how happy are the Vikings that they don't have to face Trent Richardson in this game, given their shortcomings on defense in the first 2 weeks?
Well, Jared Allen joked today that he's basically throwing darts at the wall to see who the running back will be. But he pointed out that they had no idea who the Cardinals running back was last year, that little Rod Stephen Cowling. And he came in at 100 yards and a touchdown and had like 50 yards receiving and a touchdown. But they won the game. But his point was that whoever they put in there, and I don't know if it's going to be McGahee or what they're going to do, but whoever it's going to be, it's probably not going to be a Trent Richardson.
Well, Mark, thank you for the breakdown. Appreciate your time with us, and we look forward, of course, to seeing you on Sunday, buddy.
All right, no problem. Thanks.
Thanks.
Mark Craigie covers the Vikings for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Gerard Cherry. He'll join us to wrap up this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.